Would you join me tonight in the book of Zechariah, chapter 11? Zechariah, chapter 11. The Gospel according to Zechariah. On Sundays, we've announced the Gospel according to Numbers. And one of the blessings of studying the Old Testament is we find Christ. He was the one that was preached by the apostles. He's the one that he preached when he was on the earth. He preached himself, he preached the Lord Jesus, he preached the Messiah. And we find in this chapter a discussion, a comparison between good shepherds and wicked shepherds, and the good shepherd and his care for the sheep. The good shepherd feeds his flock, and he calls under shepherds to feed the sheep, the lambs and the sheep, and they are called to feed the flock, the good shepherd. That's what we feed. We feed the flock, the good shepherd. And this is what we're going to find here in this chapter, is a comparison, a going back and forth between what the good shepherd is and what he is to the flock, and what his under shepherds are and what they are to the flock, and his discussion about those shepherds that don't take care of business, they don't take care of preaching Christ, and the judgment against those. So here in the 11th chapter of the book of Zechariah, I would like to read tonight the first 8 verses, and we'll stop there. Open thy doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour thy cedars. How, fir tree? For the cedar is fallen, because the mighty are spoiled. How, O ye oaks of Bashan? For the forest of the vintage is come down. There is a voice of howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled. A voice of roaring of young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled. Thus saith the Lord my God, feed the flock of the slaughter, whose possessors slay them and hold themselves not guilty. And they that sell them say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich. And their own shepherds pity them not. For I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. But lo, I will deliver the men, every one, into his neighbor's hand, and into the hand of the king, and they shall smite the land, and out of the land I will not deliver them. And I will feed the flock of the slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock. And I took unto me 2 staves, the one I call beauty, and the other I call bands, and I fed the flock. 3 shepherds also I cut off in 1 month, and my soul loathed them, and their soul also abhorred me. So there was a good reason that the Lord abhorred them. All right, let's look here. I'd like to say a few more words about verse 4 here. Thus saith the Lord my God, feed the flock of the slaughter. Now, we can look at this as the Lord was truly crucified for us. And yet we're going to find that many of the saints in Old Testament and New Testament times were truly, their lives were taken from them. Now, nobody that knows the gospel would ever say they were prematurely taken from them. But from the outside looking in, we find out that those who stood for the gospel according to Jesus Christ often met with opposition, and many of them were slain. And it could happen today. We're thankful that we can live in a place where we have the freedom to assemble, and we don't have somebody at the door, and we don't have somebody knocking at the door telling us we can't do that. But if that should arise, I will have to make a decision. Will I continue? Or will I? I pray that I will have the grace to say, I will continue even from jail. Or worse. That's what we pray. All right. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, we find that the Lord called a shepherd. Isaiah, chapter 6. The Lord called a shepherd. His name was Isaiah. And in Isaiah, chapter 6, now, the beginning of this chapter is just so wonderful. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Now, that's a wonderful statement when we can say, the Lord gave me grace and I got to see him. I got to see him. And here in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, it's recorded about Isaiah. But notice with me, beginning with verse 9. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9. And he said, now this is the Lord. Now remember what we read in the New Testament about, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the harvest. That is a qualifying statement by the Lord about who is going to be called to go into the harvest. It's not our call, it's his call. And woe to those who listen to a local call. Because anyway, in verse 9 it says, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant. Now, this can be to that generation, it can be to the next generation, it can be our generation, and it can be to the next generation. How long do we do this? Well, we do it until the Lord removes us or he comes back. That's how long we're going to do it. That's what his call is. Then said I, Lord, how long? Good question, but the answer is right there. And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. So the Lord shares with Isaiah, I have called you, and who will go for me? Well, if Isaiah had not been there to hear that, he would have not been called. He was put into position to hear that. Who will go for us? And thinks, how long will I do it? And it was to be all his life. So that is a shepherd that God called. Now the book of Isaiah is penned by this shepherd. The book of Isaiah is penned by Isaiah. The book of Isaiah is penned by a holy man of God who spoke as he was moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, he is a human being, and he has human frailties, but God had put him into a position by the call of grace. Isaiah would have been just like everyone else if it hadn't been for that special call. That general call is not enough. It must be that very specific call to the individual. The Lord does not flock shoot. The Lord goes after his very own lost sheep. Now we do the general call. I appreciated that mention on Sunday, the general call. That is our responsibility, and that's as far as it goes. It is our responsibility to preach the gospel. It is our responsibility to support the gospel. It's our responsibility to uphold the gospel. But beyond that, we have no inroad. We can't get there from here. So Isaiah was one of those shepherds, and he was a shepherd to this flock of people, and the Lord already told him what kind of people he was going to preach to. Now, it appears that throughout this writing that there were a few that heard what Isaiah had to say. And only because the Lord opened their eyes and ears and their understanding, because he said, generally, you're going to find out that their ears are going to be stopped and their mouths will not speak glorifying things of the Lord, and on it goes. Well, let's look at another place here in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, it mentions another shepherd that is called. And this Old Testament shepherds were just like the New Testament shepherds. They had a message to give, and the Lord called him. I'm thankful for reading about Matthew, who was a collector of taxes. Follow me. And he followed him. I find no record in the scriptures that anybody that God ever called that did not come when he called him. Now, some people, well, look at Jonah. He ran. Well, the Lord didn't leave him alone, did he? He was right there. He had every step for him. He had every step for him marked out. All right, here in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Now that's the Lord speaking about this shepherd that he's going to call when he is at an age that he could be called. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. You know, we are thankful to find out that the Lord had an interest in the church before the foundation of the world, and truly he sanctified them and set them apart and marked them out. And wherever they go, it seems that we're going to hide ourselves in all humanity, but the Lord is gracious to have us marked out. The gospel is going to reach us, the Holy Spirit is going to reach us, and we'll be plucked out of the circumstances that we're in.
Amen.
Discussion that I've had a couple of times is, are there people in all of this other stuff that are saved? Well, the Lord finds us in that other stuff. That's where we are by nature. We're generally in some kind of religious group, or we say to ourselves, I'm an agnostic, or I'm an atheist, which is really just another form of religion. And the Lord finds us there, and he said, I have called you out. Over there in the book of Revelation, he said, out of every kindred, people, and tongue. Now, he may leave us in the language, and he may leave us in the culture, but he will not leave us in the religion that we're in. He will bring us out. And there may only be two or three that can be gathered together, but the Lord said, two or three gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. So we're thankful for that. I'm thankful that there's probably more people in the world that are worshiping the true and the living God than we think there is. I'm just thankful. I just pray that there are people in some of the oddest places that they don't know about us and we don't know about them. Now, I had the privilege of visiting with Brother Lance day before yesterday. And I said, how's the work going down there since he's in Houston? He says, Norm, you cannot believe what the Lord is doing in New Guinea. Pastors are being called out. Churches are being just going on as it's supposed to if they know the gospel. And he said, I don't know how long we will be going back down there. But it's nice to hear that the work is continuing. And, you know, in many respects, there's been a flock of people that have been saved down there, and we just thank the Lord for one or two. No, it's just a blessing to hear that in that place where it's just kind of off the edge, the Lord is working a work of grace. And Lance said that he just feels part of his purpose right now is to write some materials for those folks that when he cannot go back, just to encourage them. And, anyway. So remember that work down there. All right, it goes on here with the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. He says in verse 6, then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Now, to have faith as a child is a good thing. And we're going to find out here that the Lord is speaking to one of his children. And he says, this is what you're going to do. I'll be with you. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. I read that and I said, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Just, I have put my... Now, this is a shepherd. This guy is going to be greatly mistreated in his ministry. He is going to be slapped around. He is going to be mistreated and maltreated. and not fed properly and all the other things that can go with it, but he had the Lord's words in his mouth. Now that's truly the shepherd that God gave to his people. A person who had the words of the Lord in his mouth. All right, I'll move just a little further over in the book of Amos. Amos brings out some good points here. The book of Amos, chapter 7. A good shepherd. Now there's going to be multitudes of evil shepherds, wicked shepherds. How many were prophets of Baal gathered there? And here's one man with all these prophets of Baal. The Lord had 7,000 who had never bowed the knee to Baal. I'm convinced that if they were his, he had put his word in their mouth too. They had a ministry. They had someone that he intended to speak to. Here in the book of Amos chapter 7 verse 14. Amos chapter 7 verse 14. Then he answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. That was his call. That was his job. And then he goes on to say, and the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore, hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be an harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. Now, those are tough words to be stuffed in a prophet's mouth to say to a people. He put his words in his mouth. And that's all he could do was leave that message. Now, the whole book of Amos, the whole book of Jeremiah, the whole book of Isaiah is an example of God's word to Israel. And some of it is, you shall be punished by the Lord. And some of it is to his people, I will call you out of this place and that place. You will know me. I've known you. And on we go. Now, in the book of Amos, chapter 3 and verse 12 is a scripture that has just been such a blessing to me over the years. I ran into it one time. We brought a message from it here. It's just one I go back to because the shepherd, the good shepherd, here in the book of Amos, chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs and a piece of an ear. Now, the Lord saves his people, but from his side, we are not much. We don't have much bragging rights. It's not by our righteousness that he called us. The illustration here is just a piece and nobody wants it. But the Lord chose it before the foundation of the world as a shepherd. As a shepherd. And that's what a shepherd does. Now David, he was a shepherd and he slew the lion and he slew the bear to protect his father's sheep. And I'm thankful that the Lord does that for us. In verse 5, going over to Zechariah chapter 11 and verse 5, we have those comments made there. Chapter 11, verse 5 of the book of Zechariah. It tells us here, whose possessors slay them. That word possessor means similar to a person who owns the flock. I have bought this flock only to fleece them. That's the attitude that they have. I am here in this position just to fleece the flock. I'm going to abuse them. I'm going to use them. And whose possessors goes on to slay them and hold themselves not guilty. In all ages, the religious leaders have led in a wayward path. You know, I was just thinking about the two in the very beginning that brought an offering, a sacrifice, Cain and Abel. I never find the Lord dealing with Cain after that event. He had a mark on him. He sent off, and the Lord never intercepted him again. His own child, Abel, is mentioned in the New Testament in very positive terms. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. And then the blood of Christ has of greater value than the blood of Abel. It has redemptive value to it. And so Abel is spoken of very, very dearly, and Cain is mentioned not in any positive sense, even there at the Garden of Eden. And we notice that here they continue to teach the commandments of men. That's what Cain did. He taught his own commandment. I'm okay. I can bring this. And he brought that to his children and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren, that line of thought. And we find it throughout the Old Testament among those shepherds who had no care for the flock. They were interested in teaching, worshiping by teaching the doctrines, the commandments of men. Turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 15. And keep your finger here in the book of Zechariah, but turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19. They continue to teach the commandments of men. And that's just where we are. It has been always that way. There has been those that have faithfully been touched by the word of the Lord, and that word is what goes out. There are those that have never been touched, and so they're going to bring something else. They're going to do what we find here in the book of Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19, or verse 9, excuse me. Matthew chapter 15, verse 9. The scriptures share this. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now let's go up here for just a moment and find out who he's talking to. It says, verse 3, but he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus saith ye, thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah the prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and dishonoreth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. No. And what is that? No. Everything outside of this. Human philosophy, human thoughts about religion. My God would not do that. And absolutely you're right. Your God would not do that, but my God would. So we find that brought out in the scriptures that these that are called shepherds in the book of Zechariah, they're evil shepherds, they're wicked shepherds, just like Israel dealt with so often. And down through the ages, we've had these that taught for the word of God, the commandments and traditions of men. In the book of Titus, would you turn there with me? The book of Titus. The Apostle Paul shared much about this very subject that we find over in the book of Zechariah. In the book of Titus, as he was giving instruction, now it's interesting when Nancy and I were on Crete that this term came up about the Cretans. They're slow bellies and liars. You know, they talk about themselves being recorded in the Bible like that. Well, here in the book of Titus, the Apostle Paul is writing to this... I'll get there in a moment. Titus chapter 1, verse 10. It says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, and that's religious people. They were religious people. They were the Jews, whose mouths must be stopped. Now, the Apostle Paul left Titus in Crete to preach the gospel. Titus had had his mouth touched by the word of God, and he left him for that purpose there. He goes on to say, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. Their witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be found in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, there's nothing pure. You can't. Well, I was just looking at a magnet that Nancy gave me. It's on my file cabinet in there. William Shakespeare said this: there's small choice among rotten apples. That is a precept that is found so true in the script. There's just nothing that you can find among rotten apples that is positive. And here the Apostle Paul is talking about these guys that come in, and they have great swelling words, but when you get down to it, they are not preaching Christ as the only hope and salvation. Goes on to say, they profess that they know God, but by their works they deny him. What does that mean? Well, you have to add something to this. There's some self-righteousness that must come into this, and that's abominable. Our only hope is Christ's blood and righteousness. There's nothing else that we can go on. And disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. This is Paul speaking to Titus about what was going on there on Crete. But what was going on Crete, this would not have been in the Bible if it was not intended for us to take reckoning of it today. The book of Titus. And in the book of 1 Corinthians, back up if you went to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we have Paul again, used of the Holy Spirit to write to the Corinthians. Chapter 14, verse 37. It says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, if any man think himself to be a prophet, what is called, God called, anybody think he's God called or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. You know, if somebody thinks that they're a prophet or spiritual and disagree with the Apostle Paul's teachings, they are not a prophet and they are not spiritual. Paul says if they don't agree, where did Paul get this? Paul by nature was not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul by nature was preaching circumcision. Paul by nature was preaching Judaism. But when the Lord saved him and called him and put his hand upon him and put his words in his mouth, he said, if you are a preacher, if you're a prophet, if you think you're spiritual and you're saying anything contrary to what I've already taught, then you're not. You're not a prophet. You're not a good shepherd. You're not a under shepherd. You are in it for a lie. And that's serious business. And you know what we find the Apostle Paul wrote? Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians, and all of that talks about God's great sovereignty and God's great salvation and God's great gift of salvation and what he does to people and how he makes them new and all of this stuff. And God does that. And Paul was preaching that. And he said, if they don't agree with this, they will not agree with God because he's the one that gave it to me. And then over here in the book of 2 Peter, in 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets. Now, a false prophet is the same as a false shepherd. Old Testament description, New Testament description, they fall into the same. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. You believe in grace? Yeah, I don't like you. Evil spoken of. And it's just common. You know, it shouldn't even upset us. Because that's just the common reaction to grace. I still cannot understand why I told Nancy I hated that man. Why I didn't keep that in my head. You know, because we can think things and never bring it out and nobody knows the difference. But that man was preaching. There was no works in it. Works were excluded and Christ was preached. And that made me mad. Well, goes on here, sir. And through covetousness shall they be with vain words make merchandise of you. That, what does that mean? Last night I was listening to someone on YouTube, a country and western singer, and it happened to be on a show, and it swung around, and I said, Nancy, do you suppose we need one of these? And it was one of those boards that you find in churches. I said it facetious. Offering today, offering last Sunday, attendance today, attendance last Sunday, and building fund, you know. It was right there in that gal was singing a song. And I thought, wow, that just took me back a ways. Making merchandise of you. It isn't valuable that there were 89 people there. It's valuable how much was the offering. Making merchandise. That is among the religions of the world today. It is just that. How... I cannot tell you how many people have been astonished when I said, come to church, we don't even take an offering. Well, how can you do it then? Well, we just trust the Lord in it. Don't take an offering. Most churches, that's the most diligent part of the service. And if there's not enough, we'll send the plate around again. Well, making merchandise of you. This is a description of those prophets in the Old Testament that did not have the words of the Lord. They were in it for themselves, and it just carried over through the 400 years that the Holy Spirit didn't give a message to any prophet that we have record of. And when the Zacharias was here on this earth, and he got word that he and his wife were going to have John, and then Mary heard that the Messiah was coming, and we pick up the New Testament times, we have the same thing. Jesus Christ dealt with the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the lawyers all over this very same issue. The Apostle Paul wrote many words to churches about this very same issue. And what is it? Lion shepherds that care not for the flock, but care for their own bellies, their own. And it goes on to tell us here many things. Verse 3, it just said this, and though through covetousness, so they have fiend words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Mike and Yvonne spent a long time up in Alaska, and I was up there one time, and he mentioned this about that missionary that was up there that visited every home in Alaska. Now, Alaska is 2.5 times the size of Texas. Not near as many people, so you have a lot farther to walk because you can't get there from here. And what did he do? He wrote home so that he would have more offering given to him because he is visiting every home, made merchandise out of the people. And our responsibility is to preach Christ. Preach Christ and him crucified. Preach the blood of Christ. Preach the mercy of Christ. Preach Christ and him crucified. And it tells us in verse 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Now, I looked that up and I thought, well, they're despising Washington, D.C., or they're despising... That's not what it's talking about. They're despising authority, the authority of the Lord. What did we find over there in the book of, I have it here, Luke chapter 19? We'll not have this man rule over us or reign over us, what's over there. They despise authority. They despise that God would save a people. They despise that he had a people chosen before the foundation of the world. They despise that he's in charge. They despise that he's a sovereign God choosing his people, electing his people. That's despising authority. That's despising governments. Someone that rules in such a capacity that he knows all his people before the foundation of the world, and the Lord Jesus Christ died for all the people, and the Holy Spirit is after and finding and bringing the gospel to all the people. That's despising governments. That's a serious crime against God, that you despise him who reigns. Despise him that reigns. The church has worshipped a reigning king, and they delight in the fact that he is reigning, that he reigns over us. He reigns over us. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the reigning king. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. How glorious is that? And so this is what we have, these folks. They denied the gospel. They denied the Lord. They denied his rule. They denied his reign. And then so often, as we found over there, I'm rich. Finances enter into it. And then the Lord told those folks, you know, if you weren't finding widows to betray and take their property away from them, and then have great long prayer that you didn't do anything wrong, you wouldn't be rich. And that's financially rich. They devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers. In the book of Revelation, you should be there in 2 Peter, but in the book of Revelation, those who say they're rich. Now, there has become very prominent, but it's not in just today. It was in the generation past. It was in the 10 generations past that if you have money, the Lord is blessing you. And that's just been common among the world. Just common. If you're rich, the Lord's blessing you. Well, no believer will ever tell the Lord that he's rich. Now, we may have a good place, a good home. We have good food. But this riches that we're talking about so often is spiritual riches, and we don't have any of our own. Notice this passage of scripture to the book of in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. Now that angel there is messenger. He's writing to the pastor. We have a problem, pastor. These things said the Amen, the so be it. The one who is the reigner, the one who is reigning, faithful and true witness, in the beginning of the creation of God. He's the architect of everything. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. But then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. What a statement. I say, I'm rich. The Lord says, you're poor. The church says, I agree. We agree with the Lord. Our riches. Not long ago, the subject of rewards came up. It was on the Zoom. The subject of rewards. And someone just brought out that wonderful passage in the book of Genesis. The Lord is my exceeding great reward. That's what the Lord told Abraham. I am thy exceeding great reward. Nothing compares to that. We're not trying to serve the Lord so we'll have a better position in heaven. Everybody is there equal. Same ground. Everybody that is saved by the grace of God has been given the same faith. Everything is equal. Same word, same faith, same spirit, same. So, the shepherd that came out, the Lord said, I will feed my flock. And I'm thankful that he fed his flock in the Old Testament through his prophets. He gave them the words to speak, and they spoke it. Now, they were maltreated by people, but they were honored by the Lord. The Lord said there in verse 6 of Zechariah chapter 11, I'll no more pity the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. And then in verse 7, I will feed the flock. I will comfort with two staves, beauty and bands. Now we're going to look at that next week. Our time is up, but I want to say this. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalm 23. Most shepherds that we find in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament only had one staff. We find the Lord has two staffs. And he's got a name for them. And here in the 23rd Psalm, we have this wonderful passage of scripture of great encouragement to the church ever since this was penned. It's been an encouragement to the church, this 23rd Psalm, well, the 22nd and the 21st too, and the 24th. But there in the 23rd Psalm in verse 4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And do you know what? We're doing that every day. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now notice here, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So the Lord has a rod and a staff. And over here in the book of Zechariah, it gives us the name of them. And we'll look into that, Lord willing, next time. So, next week, we'll be back in the book of Zechariah, chapter 11, and looking at those names.